This is a HeadGum Podcast. Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Adam and Eve. Spring is in the air, but is it in your step? Is it in your bed? If you're interested in better sex starting now, go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys, lingerie, accessories, everything you need to level up your pleasure checks. And right now, Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, plus free shipping, which includes rush processing. That's discreet shipping, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. So just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code PAWPAW at checkout. That's PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code PAWPAW to get your discount, 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Code P-A-W-P-A-W. Goodbye, sweeties.
Welcome to the campaign after the campaign. This is not another D&D podcast.
Welcome back to Bahumia, everyone.
Bahumia.
JK, we're not even really in Bahumia. We're doing a Q&A episode,
y'all. No way,
y'all.
Baby.
Suckers.
In fact, we're in New Orleans.
You just got thwomped.
Yeah.
You just
that's
got,
right. You're sitting
you
at home.
You got your bell rung.
Your bell's ringing.
Finally. We've all teamed up. We've all teamed up with our DM to womp you for once.
The audience got womped, which is, you know, how any good podcast works.
Yeah.
Thwacking and thwomping him.
Thwack and thwomp your audience. Anyway, guys, we're doing a Trinity Veil this week, and then also we're doing this Q&A episode. We solicited questions from Twitter.
As you give us Qs. We give you As.
We give you our A after you give us your Qs. We also answered questions from Patreon. And in fact, as a short rest this week, we will actually be answering more questions over on the Patreon. So you'll get an additional Q&A episode over on the Patreon.
That is how thick and
there.
Meaty this sewed is, guys.
Oh,
correct.
This is freaking so kielbasa.
So
it's like
guys.
A sewed that's frothing over into... A short rest.
Yeah. You put too much water in the pan. Sorry, go ahead.
That's a lot of froth. We will start with a question from Twitter. Mel, but a werewolf asks, Hard One was
I
so...
I like that name.
Hard One was so protective of his pride and autonomy in the first few arcs. What prompted him to rightly immediately bend the knee to Mama?
Ooh, good cue.
It's. I think... Hard One was always just searching for a righteous and worthy queen.
Mm.
He was always eager to bend the knee, but he just hadn't come close to finding anybody. He knows what he wants.
You did everything but bend the knee to Shay, though, to be fair.
That's right.
No, you wouldn't, though. But, like, you can't bend the knee to someone you want to be with.
Right.
True. That introduces a power dynamic.
Things were too rigid to bend the knee.
Exactly.
You don't want to start a relationship like that, which is what Hard One had with Shay.
I love that. He had such a boner, it would have given it. He couldn't bend the knee.
I love
literally
that.
Because his dick is longer than his
right.
Calf.
I just love the idea of that as dating advice, though. Just being like, step one, do not bend the knee to them. Unhealthy.
That was also, yeah, that was probably the first time Hard One didn't have an erection when he was asked to bend the knee, so he just did it.
I haven't listened to that episode in forever, so I don't even remember how much Mama even spoke or we even knew how why she was or whatever. She may have literally said one sentence and Hard One bent the knee just because she was a possum who spoke incredibly eloquently.
Yeah. And I honestly, that decision has, like, it's only been fortified the more we've learned about Mama.
Mm-hmm.
She is very wise. Mm. I do think one of the fun things about, like, your guys' interactions with NPCs are the kind of unexpected relationships, like the characters that are almost not there for your character that people still bond with. Like Hard One and Mama is very funny. And then I would say, like, Moonshine has a little bit of a special relationship with Bev Sr. Mm. Or perhaps did until...
I'm protective of him. I got to bring him back to Martha Togold.
Yeah. It's kind of a fun character choice to be like, this person wasn't part of my backstory, but I am invested in them.
Right. Taking another character aside, and by another character we mean you, and then just kind of directing our eyes towards you and having a conversation in front of our friends for a moment.
Yeah. Cassie S asks on Twitter, how mentally messed up are your characters at this point?
Not great, not 100%, and definitely not 100, I would say.
I'm definitely out of sorts. Mm. Yeah, it's a mind fuck. I would say my entire self-identity is currently being questioned. Mm. It's sort of like there's been an earthquake in my soul. Mm.
I think we're all emotionally edging at the moment, to be sure.
Yeah.
Just like one more thing would maybe push us over.
Yeah, it's tough because it does feel like the characters need a break and we almost need like a lighthearted like little 3 or 4 episode arc.
Oops.
But things are so pressing that you guys just immediately went to Shadowfell.
Yeah. Also, last time we went on vacation, we almost had a total party kill.
True.
It's true.
That is very true. That we can never let our guard up.
Like minute 10 into our vacation, I think Moonshine almost got her soul stolen by a pair of succubi. So
I know, but if they hadn't been succubi, I would have got my fucking heart stolen, right?
Absolutely. Amen.
Maybe I have been stealing their hearts? Who knows? In the end, Balnor was there, so that would have really ruined my life, actually, I think.
I do like that in our character's history, there was a time, before we knew it was a succubus, that Bev and Hardwon watched Moonshine walk off with Balnor to have a four-way.
My plan, I just want everyone to know my plan was that I was going to like make sure there was always at least one succubus in between me and Balnor. So like there was never, when there's four people, it's easy to like really focus on two people.
Oh, that's
a buffer.
Yeah, that's a buffer, yeah.
You're enjoying one and the other one is a buffer for the third person that you're not trying to.
You have to have.
You're rotating like one to your right. You can avoid.
Exactly. Would it have been an awkward dance as Balnor tried to inch near Moonshine?
Sure, but you have to have a game plan going in. Absolutely. Gotta have a strategy.
A little bit of a leaping off from this question, from this past question, Johnny P. asks, love the show. Do you think Moonshine would have preferred to be a Maribel mushroom spawn to being a high elf?
So, okay. I'm not sure if I've talked about this just off mic with you guys, but yes, the idea of being a monster sat a lot more comfortably with me than being a high elf, because high elves are just so up their own fucking ass, and it's like they've oppressed my people. Monsters, yeah, cool. Monsters are cool as hell. Yeah, Maribel was, you know, she wasn't bad at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. She was corrupted and manipulated, but like the essence of being a mushroom monster that makes spawns is not the evil.
Yeah, there's
but
like,
even I think I'd rather be an evil monster than a snooty high elf.
There's no connections when you're a monster. Like,
I think maybe I would prefer that Akarot was my dad to a high elf being my dad.
But I will say, when we were recording, you were more distraught in real life by Maribel saying that you might be a mushroom spawn than by finding out you were a high elf.
Well, because, so when we're actually recording, when you said that shit, like with Maribel, that was like very emotional, but there was nothing silly about it. But when you said I was a high elf, that is such a funny twist that I wasn't expecting that I was still very amused at the same time.
It's just hitting a lot of emotional keys, I imagine.
It's like getting razzed versus getting owned, I guess.
Yeah.
That's eloquent. That's a nice way to put it. I think that's exactly what it was.
A razzing versus a whomping, as it were.
But I would say like at that point, like I was very attached to like my mom, you know, I was very attached to
Jolene,
me, mom.
You just had the whole,
So, like, the idea of Jolene, like, not being my mom after, like, we had just, like, been hanging out with her, that was, like, a really uncomfortable thought. Yeah. Whereas like the who my dad is, I hadn't really even been thinking about that.
You know what it is? It's like, yeah, you were pulled into a quick moment of feeling safe and secure by knowing for certain that Maribel is your mom. Or no, by knowing that Jolene was your mom. But then that rug was instantly pulled out from under you by finding out that your dad is a high elf.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Have we met any high elves? Who are the high elves that we've hung out with?
Yeah, like Gladeholm high elves.
I don't think we've met any.
You've met Galad.
Oh, no.
Is that really the only...
I remember now he was a high elf.
But you've also met Alanis, who is a high elf.
Cool.
Okay.
She's cool.
Yeah.
Maybe Alanis is my dad.
Maybe.
Okay. Ooh, that would be dope. Good.
That's a dirty ass dad.
Yeah, that's right. Daddy. That's a dirty ass steampunk dad. Okay, Alanis is my dad. I feel better now.
You figured it out.
Is Beric Brisden an elf?
No, he's a human.
Okay, cool. Oh man.
He's a big, buff, stern human man.
Who would you compare him to visually? Mm. Are we talking Tom Selleck? Are we talking Crispin Glover?
That's a good comparison.
Crispin Glover.
Not Crispin Glover.
Tom Selleck? That's
person?
Too cool. No, he's like a Terry Bradshaw.
A little bit Terry Bradshaw. I would also say Tom Selleck in Blue Bloods. Tom Selleck in Blue Bloods, but bad.
Wow.
What if he was insanely bad like... Bloods. Like hiding corruption in his precinct.
Brisbloods.
I have a question for you, Murph.
Mm-hmm.
Off of the discussion of Akarot being someone's dad. Akarot's not that old, is he? Or I guess we don't know, but like...
Yeah, you don't know.
Because Akarot's dad didn't ascend to hell until like that fairly recently, right?
Like it was. Yeah, but he's always been like...
Is Akarot an elf?
Akarot is a... You guys don't know. I'm not telling you stuff. I can't spoil it.
All right, fine. Sorry.
He's something else. He's something unique?
I can't tell you guys.
We haven't met him yet.
Interacted with him.
I will say this much. But you saw a man with face wraps and like red eyes that look like little glowing fire orbs.
So he's some kind of shapeshifter.
He doesn't look like a normal dude. So you couldn't just discern from looking at him. I will say he does
he's a doppelganger.
Not necessarily have to be young. Because Ilsaed, it was never established that Ilsaed had Akarot while he was in hell.
True, okay.
Who's Akarot's mom?
You don't know.
Yes.
Okay, I was trying to catch you off guard.
Jolene.
Oh, yeah, by the way.
I just think it's really funny if Akarot's like 37.
Imagine if it was Shay. That'd be so devastating. For
oh, no.
So hot.
I know, it'd be really hot. It'd only make her hotter.
Oh my God.
She has an edge. Awesome.
Yeah.
Shay, you had a moment of weakness.
Okay. Noah G from Patreon asks, looking back at where you started with your character to where you are now, is there any aspect of your character you regret establishing early on or wish was different as it's less fitting with the current adventure? Anything you wish you had set up earlier or had planned from the beginning? I'll start. Okay. Are you guys sad that you are regretting it all that you established that you can't read?
No, because it's so cute that we're learning.
That is cute.
I guess it's yeah, but it's been so funny not being able to read. I really, I haven't minded that. I don't know. Is there anything that anybody else that comes to mind for anybody else?
For me, I guess like. I kind of feel like I abandoned like the green teen patch thing a little early. I feel like I could have milked some more fun out of that, but I kind of like, you know, it felt right to like hand that sash to my mom when we were leaving Galateron, but like, I don't know.
Although you did it for like 20 episodes.
Yeah, that's fair. that's the hard thing about the show is like, it's 20 episodes, which feels like a long time, but in like the world, it was only like 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's right. True.
But a lot happened to your character in that.
True. And I guess like these are like impactful moments in my character's life. So I don't regret it at all. But like sometimes
it'd be weird
I'm like,
if Beverly
I, like...
was you're going to war and also collecting patches.
Yeah. Yeah, right, it really was like Bev had his first adventure in Moonstone, but it was still kind of minor and low stakes. It was basically just like you guys fighting a bunch of barbarians. And then he witnessed a civil war and saved his dad and had to fight one-on-one in a trial by combat. Mm-hmm. So it would have been a little weird to go into Tales from the Crick with like, excuse me, Meemaw of the Crick, do you have any patches for finding possums?
Damn, you're right. I haven't made a single wrong choice of my character.
That's true.
Oh, I guess.
No, you know what? You know what your mistake was?
What?
Bringing it up here.
Oh, no. Shit. Caldwell's made so many mistakes. Beverly's made none.
I regret abandoning Caw Caw. I shouldn't have done that. I love
you
that.
You didn't.
I love that.
You really abandoned Caw Caw. You just completely forgot to ever mention Caw Caw.
I sent him on a noble quest. He wasn't there to mention. But as soon as we save my mother and before we defend Galadron from civil war, I think we should go find my bird.
Yeah, we'll add that to the list.
Yeah, but like top
noble
of the list.
That's, that might be more pressing than Shadowfell.
That's
huh?
what I was thinking. Yeah, actually. Just let's go back up and be like, hey, I lost a crow.
I was actually really glad when you guys sent Caw Caw away because you guys just have too many people in your party.
It's true.
Too many people for me to keep track of. I'm like, I don't want you guys to have a damn bird. Because all the insane shit that you guys do, I know that, especially as you guys got high level, you would have used Caw Caw to do all kind of insane shit with him getting to fly around and everything, spying, doing
yeah.
all that.
We would have shrunk ourselves down and rode on Caw Caw. Don't even question it. Don't even worry about it.
Let's see. Oh, you know what? Off of Caw Caw, let's pivot to Bojangles. Dave.
Hell yeah.
Dave on Twitter asks, whatever happened to Bojangles, the horse riding horse / former mayor of Moonstone?
I mean, that's more a question for you, Merv. I would like to establish that Bojangles is doing well and has met another horse that also rides horses, and
yeah.
then they are starting a polo team.
I think I generally just don't make you guys micromanage your mounts, and I feel like you guys still have Bojangles.
Oh, we really? Still got him? I figured he,
I mean,
like...
I guess he's probably, you know what, he's probably, like, on the airship with, like, Jaina. And
what
stuff.
The fuck? Bojangles is
he was
has
like your
been
horse,
with us?
Right? You guys took him to Esri.
I figured that he took us as far as Esri, then went back to Moonstone.
Yeah, that's what I assumed. He was pretty important in Moonstone.
Wait, but who took him? Wait.
The former mayor.
He took himself home.
Oh, wait, so he just walked himself back or rode a different horse back?
He's a horse riding horse.
Okay. I mean, it's more on you guys than it is on me.
No,
as much as I like want us to have access to Bojangles, what you're saying right now, Murf, completely betrays the character of Bojangles, which is a really intelligent horse-riding horse who is also the former mayor of Moonstone. It has political obligations in Moonstone.
We know a lot of mayors.
Let's think about what's funnier, us finding Bojangles on the airship when we go back to Bohemia, or us finding Bojangles running the town in Moonstone in like 300 episodes.
Okay, so just to confirm for canon, uh-huh. Everyone at home, this is exactly what actually happened. You guys got to Esri, slapped Bojangles on the butt and yelled, just go. And then Bojangles just hopped on another horse and rode back to Moonstone.
Yes.
That's what happened?
Yes.
Yeah, he just rode off into the sunset on another horse.
You guys
yeah.
tell me.
It has.
Tell
it
me
has
if you get
confirmed.
This link that I just sent you. I searched horse riding a horse on the internet. Nothing came okay. up except for this
the internet.
This one little gif.
Whoa!
Wow. Oh, I hate this.
Oh, this is terrible.
I
for
think
for everyone listening,
awesome.
it's a horse blowing another horse.
Jake just sent us a very distasteful zoetrope. It's like the first animated thing.
A tiny, weird, kind of anthropomorphic horse riding a big, regular horse, and I don't like it.
This
no.
would be a cool
I like
t-shirt.
It.
I think it'd be a really cool t-shirt.
Yeah, like a t-shirt that moves.
Yeah, that would be a fucking awesome t-shirt.
Yeah.
Ventricular.
Gift shirt?
Just a tiny TV in your shirt.
Laura on Twitter asks, if your PC died, what way do you think they would die?
Hmm.
Jesus.
Oh, dear.
I've thought about this.
I definitely think Moonshine would die, like, probably healing someone instead of, like, probably having to endanger herself to heal someone.
Mm-hmm.
Killed by her own hospitality.
Yeah.
I want Beverly to tabletop Akarot off a cliff, but he falls with him, and they both die.
Oh, he gets, like, grabbed at the last second?
Yeah. So
Balrog,
like,
Balrog style, but in such a stupid way.
Yes, exactly.
Or also, like, we haven't talked about Moonshine's huge tits in a while, so maybe it'd be fun, like, if she did a handstand one time and then was suffocated by her own huge tits.
That's how I want to go, too.
I do. Yeah, I have a little note in my notebook that's always like, ask Moonshine about huge tits.
Bring it up more. Yes, I have that in all my DM notes.
You're like, right. Actually, you want to know, if we want to go back to like what we regret about our character, I regret like every episode I haven't mentioned her ginormous top shelf.
It is funny how like the characters are pretty undefined other than like Moonshine has freckles and huge tits. Beverly has a flat ass and braces. So it's just like two weird futuristics, but everything
Aron
else is...
has huge quads.
Also a thick ass.
Thick of ass and bad of reed.
This is kind of going off that last question a little bit. Kev on Twitter asks, if your PC died and you had to play as an established NPC or guest character moving forward, who would you choose?
I could never play someone else.
Shay.
But if you had to.
I would play Shay.
Oh,
really?
Because it would just be really fun to play Shay around Moonshine.
Oh my god.
I thought about this. It's hard because you do such a good job with all the NPCs. I feel like I would be betraying your performance a little bit. But
I know that's like when one feels like it's too much. It's like Egwene was a super fun character, but it's like I can't jump into what I would just be like, cool. I guess Murph speaks for her because
I guess let's put it in a different context. So it wouldn't be like you guys taking a character or something like that. What of the like tropes of the NPCs? If you were just like, oh, I would play a character like Old Cobber. I'd play a character like Egwene. Like, if you had to pick between, like rebellious teen ranger halfling versus, like...
I would do something
you know, like Jaina, like dwarf, lawful, good warrior type deal.
What was her... Was it... Oh, man. Who was the werewolf?
Luna.
Yeah, I would play somebody like Luna. I like the idea of being somebody that, like, can't control... a rage, and is also like getting is maybe thinking about defecting from the Chosen. She's like getting jaded about her current position.
I would play
a secret. I like playing people with secrets.
Yeah. I would either play a Duddle type character, because I think it'd be fun to play like a small wizard as opposed to like a small warrior. Or Tabaxi. What was his name? I'm trying to remember why can't I remember his name?
Oh, Skullis.
Skullis, yeah.
Oh,
Skullis would be cool.
Mm-hmm. That's just like, I don't know. I think like a Judo Tabaxi is a very fun character type.
Yeah.
I could also play Vinard.
Yeah.
Just a bartender, you know? Blue collar.
Just a bunch of vines. The air elemental bartender would also be fun to play.
Oh, hell yeah.
Just a bunch of wind.
I'll probably play Gemma's assassin.
What the fuck?
Just kidding.
Akarot?
Yeah, I'd probably play like an Akarot type, you know?
Just anyone who could wreck Jake's shit.
Just a level 20 badass.
Let's see here. Beatty on Twitter asks, in both Bohemia and Trinityvale, what is the most aesthetically defining location or object or even NPC to DM and to players? Also, how are Murph and Caldwell's approach to world building similar / different?
Wow. Great question.
Well, I guess like Bohemia, I think, is like more of a... Bohemia is more of a Game of Thrones book, and Trinityvale is more of like a 13-episode anime, I guess is the way to put it.
I think Bohemia is not very Game of Thrones at all. I think it's much more Final Fantasy and like Warcraft.
That's true.
I'd say Trinityvale just dials that up even more.
Yeah.
To anime territory, I would say.
Yeah, it's like... no, all right, I got it. Bohemia is the Warcraft strategy games, And Trinavale is a World of Warcraft like later expansions.
Oh, interesting.
Like when they introduced like pandas and that bullshit.
Like Mists of Pandaria. I think that's good. I feel like we have like a little bit of a similar aesthetic. I think that we both like kind of steampunky stuff.
Yeah.
And we both came from like playing Final Fantasy games and things like that.
Definitely.
I think we're both video game focused DMs, whereas I think a lot of other DMs like grew up reading what is it called, the Silmarillion, whatever the hell the history of the Lord of the Rings
the Crown of Baron.
Yeah.
What are your part of this question is, what are Murph and Caldwell's approaches to world building? What are your approaches to world building, my friends? Just answer at the same time. I'm sure we can edit around it.
I like to write 4 paragraphs and read them to you. And I know that that's
but
not always...
But I like to listen to them.
I know that's not always the best approach, but I don't know. I like coming up with fun ways to describe things. I like trying to find like a really distinct environment for each episode, I guess. And I know that like Murph, you do that too. Like I always think about the gash on top of Mount Forge. That's like a very distinctive visual for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I think like, and we're very similar in that regard too. We kind of like to have like a playground for every kind of setting, and that is like has something that draws you to it.
Yeah. I think especially with like Trinivale being monthly, it's kind of like the mission setup that you've established is kind of similar to how Bohemia is like within the arcs.
Yeah.
Everything feels very different. Kind of each Trinivale episode, it being a mission that takes you to a different place, it all kind of feels very different.
Mm-hmm.
I think as far as like what like city or like locale best sums up the world, I would say for Bohemia it'd probably be Galadron, because that's where like we've established like the airships and everything, and that's kind of I feel like where the show had some of its bigger like emotional moments and stuff that like kicked off all of like the individual character games.
Yeah,
I also think every time we arrive somewhere in Bohemia, like the way you set up the Crick and the way you set up Frostwind was really, yeah, you could see every single detail and it was really great. Even though Hard One had a bad time in Frostwind, I enjoyed the description of it so much.
Yeah, that's true. The like iron dwarves amidst the like peaceful, snowy, slumbery town is a good contrast.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that.
I like that it was Slavic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Extremely.
I like that it was in Prague.
Yeah, because I got to listen to a bunch of Slavic music.
I'm glad that you've got the King's Hammer now, aka the Queen's Hammer, and you just get to bring a little piece of Frostwind with you forever now.
Yeah, I love those voices.
The Dwarven Daddies.
Gotta find him a hot tub. I really gotta find him a hot tub.
I know.
Those are a good NPC. We only see them occasionally. I feel like they're kind of like keychain in that regard, where they pop out every once in a while and you're like, it's just like, it's nice to have a check-in with them.
Yeah, it is interesting. Especially with stuff like that too, I do think our styles are pretty similar. I think like our worlds are kind of similar. Mm-hmm. I think we have a little bit of a different approach with like prepping and stuff, because I think you're a lot more interested in like building your own pantheon and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like I love listening to that stuff and being a player in that world, but it is like I never sit there and like come up with the names of gods. Like that's why I just use the regular old fucking D&D ones.
I like coming up with names a lot. I obsess over names, like probably too much.
One thing I've noticed about everyone that I've known who's like become a DM is that they start getting into like architecture.
Oh, that's
because
true.
Like I feel like every time someone starts DMing, like suddenly they're like, oh, I gotta describe all these buildings.
Mm,
all right.
Yeah.
Well, how the fuck do I describe? It looks like this, but what the fuck is that called? Like,
well,
and then suddenly, like you guys all like know like all like parapets and
cornice,
awnings,
portcullis,
and,
or you know like what verandas. A garrison is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's a very good point. Yeah, there is a lot of. I always have like a synonym page open when I'm prepping for these sessions.
Yeah, I'll also like, I specifically remember rewatching Game of Thrones and like really taking note of how the castle is like laid out and stuff. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know, you can know a decent amount about history and everything like that, but you still don't know how to quite describe all of that stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not to say that any of our stuff is accurate or any of my stuff is accurate, but it's more accurate than it would have been, maybe.
It gets you in the mindset, though. Like, even if it's not like, you know, exactly to history, it just like puts your head in that space.
There's about 20 minutes of every Bohemia campaign episode where we're asking Murph about the grain cellar of a castle and like describing like how they would prepare and keep like grains and corns siloed for the winter, and like he, you know, has it all planned out, so we want to know, but we usually cut that because it's a little less interesting.
Or the weather patterns of the region.
How humid is it here?
Let's see. Sky asks, when recording the session that revealed Bev's dad making a deal, did Caldwell's scream of get out startle anyone? And is there a point where you can't really speak after a session due to the high emotional toll it takes?
I guess that's a question for y'all. Were y'all startled?
I was scared. I was shaking to my core.
Oh, no.
I was, Caldwell's a dang professional with the microphones, so I was just really happy when I saw him lean back.
Right.
So I was expecting him to get loud.
Mm,
but
that's good.
I thought that was a really good character moment because I do think that the boobs are very forgiving. So I was happy that you guys were like sympathetic to him, but we're still like, yo, you can't be around us right now. This is bad news. I was slightly worried that Bev would just be like, well, I'm the devil now, I guess. I'll join my dad.
Oh, man. That would have been, that's a very fun what if we ever want to do that for a live show where we do all become little devils.
Oh, my God. I loved when we were pretending to be devils.
I was worried. That is like a weird thing from that moment. Is like, I was worried about startling you, but I was also like, oh no, this is going to sound terrible in the audio because I've definitely peaked.
Oh, it didn't actually scare me. I also saw you lean back from the microphone. But I do feel like sometimes when we're recording and like the mood is really heavy, it does, like it absolutely carries over to like if we take a break, we're like, damn.
Yeah.
Damn, that's crazy. But a lot of it is also, it's not like, damn, we're sad. It's like, we'll go into the other room and be like, damn, like, Murph, that's really good storytelling. That's powerful stuff. It's like emotional, but still positive, if that makes any sense.
It's like coming off of like a football field or like, you know, he's coming back into the locker room and being like, nice work out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's true. Yeah, I would say we get less, you know, quiet or less talky, less with the big emotional moments and more with like tough battles.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Like, yeah. After, I feel like that's the long bus ride home is after a big battle and we're all just kind of like looking out the window.
Yeah. When we almost die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Something like the orc pirate fight or the purple worm fight.
I think there's something about like a battle once we start to like lose, then it's like
not fun anymore. Not,
that's what I was going to say. It's like, well, it's like you feel like you're not allowed to have fun anymore. You feel like you're like, okay, like I have to be like focused and just try to do things right. And so like that probably does take some energy out because it takes it from like a joyful place to like an intellectual place.
We got to survive, like survival mode.
Yeah, you guys also get more mad at me about, you never get mad at me about story things, but about like mechanical things you will get mad at me. Like when I counterspelled Emily, she was
That was so fucking annoying. But also remember, literally it's not like we were all getting counterspelled. It was just anything I could do. So Moonshine literally could do jack shit.
By the way,
it worked though because I was depressed. So.
I've had several people confirm to me that I fucked up and should have been using Aura of Warding in that battle. So I should have been taking like half damage that entire time.
Oh, just for chain lightning, I think.
Yeah, just for chain lightning. But like you've lightning us a few times.
Which maybe would have kept you up.
Yeah, but like, I don't know, it all worked out. I think like the story structure was good for that episode. So I don't feel too bad.
Yeah, it is. those moments, it's like, it's always better when somebody's like knocked out and almost dead, mm-hmm. but the time that they do die, we're really going to regret missing like the aura that
yeah.
we were supposed to use. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'll be more wary of it. That was like the first time that we've had a spellcaster in a long time though.
Yeah.
So it kind of caught me off guard.
Cool. Let's move on to our next question. Craig D on Twitter asks, you're having a dinner party IRL. Who do you invite, living or dead, from Bohemia?
Oh.
Shay.
Let's say, okay.
Shay.
Let's
say. Tris.
Yeah. Okay. Hell yeah, dude.
You fuck boy. You absolute fuck boy.
I invite them over. I pull the move, you know? I invite them all over. I see who makes it to the end of the night, right?
Shay would instantly leave.
I will make so many. I will be like, Shay, I made spring rolls. You seem like someone who keeps it tight.
Let's say you could pick you could pick three people.
Okay.
Shay, Tris, and another Tris.
Oh, God. You're awful.
Are we all pick? We can only pick three between the three of us, or we each get to pick three?
You each get to pick three.
Okay. All right. So I guess, yeah, one of my slots is obviously a Tris, you know, like Natch. Mm-hmm. Oh, I think Alanis, absolutely, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Alanis is
she would have the best stories. Oh. She's seen the world a few times. Mm-hmm.
I didn't have an answer before. You're like, what type of character would you play next?
Mm.
Like a trope? Alanis would be the trope I would go for.
Like a wizard that's super powerful, but a little bit of like a fuck up.
Yeah.
Stoner Tinker.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I would be like some kind of sorcerer who was like couldn't totally control their magic.
Okay, I would go my mom, my dad, and... either Galad, so we could all beat the shit out of him, or Gemma, so I could introduce them, or Tris, so I could introduce them. Mom, Dad, and Tris.
You still haven't decided between Gemma and Tris yet.
So, Mom, Dad, I wanted you guys to meet my new girlfriend. Tris is like, what? No.
I think we got to get old Cobb in there, right?
Yeah, I would do old Cobb. Mm-hmm. I would do old Cobb, Meemaw, and Alanis, probably. Those people would have like the best stories and be fun to drink with.
They're all
down to get effed up.
You're
and
right,
they all
because
got a lot of stories.
Also, like Alanis would be like, Ulfgar would be like too... Like, he would definitely be a sad drunk and an unpredictable drunk.
Yeah.
He'd be so fun to pregame with, though. If you're, it's like the pregame before the dinner, you get like a couple drinks and you play some beer pong with Ulfgar.
But then, like, rough,
going out, we're
rough
going
housing.
Out. You just don't go out with him.
His roughhousing turns into murder every single time.
He passes out. That or he just like passes out. He drinks way too much, way too soon.
He's always trying to drive the airship home, and you have to be like, nah, man, just take a cab.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, you hang out with Hardwon and Ulfgar like earlier in the day, and then you see them way later at night, and it's just so sad.
we day drink.
Yeah,
they day drink. They're the kind of guys that like you like meet them for dinner, and they're like just like really really antsy for their to get like the to for their beer to get delivered.
We show up to dinner trashed.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
All right, I'm changing my answer. I want it to be just Balnor's family so that he can have a moment of happiness.
I'm sticking with Triss and Shay and see who wins my heart.
It's really funny because Balnor coming to like your dinner isn't even any kind of fantasy thing. It's just like having dinner with like a nice uncle.
It's just
it's like, hey, how you been?
Just going to like your uncle's family's house for dinner when like you're visiting them. Like it'd be pretty nice, but like you'd probably try to get out of there early so you could go hang out with Ulfgar and Hardwon afterwards.
It might be fun to do like a dinner with the like stone elemental, ooh, fire elemental, water elemental, because there are like, aren't they like all siblings?
I think, yeah, that's what you said.
Oh, yeah, they were.
They're all siblings,
yeah,
so
right.
There'd probably be some drama, and it would be like really elemental drama.
Yeah.
So that'd be dope.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, look no further. Aura Frames are the beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law all have Auras from me, and they love them. So from grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame, named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Trademark, brother. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. They're easy to set up, they are the perfect gift, and they've got unlimited storage, unlimited photos and videos. You can invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. How beautiful is that? And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code PAWPAW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here with a very important question. Do you like spending money? I sure do. Every time I give away my money, chances are good I'm going to get something I want in return. It's a pretty sweet deal. But sometimes I find myself paying for things I'm not even using. And when that happens, I end up having less money in my bank to spend on things I do want. Ridiculous, right? Luckily, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That's it for me. Thanks for listening and happy savings.
Next question.
Yeah.
Aaron W. asks, will Moonshine ever awaken Pawpaw? Will he be sentient and speaking like Mama?
Whoa.
So I don't want to awaken Pawpaw because I would miss the Reese too much. I love the way he speaks. And I also think he doesn't really need to be awakened. Like he's very intelligent.
Well, wait, I think we need to
awakening him. Awakening him suggests that there's something wrong with him right now. And he's perfect the way he is.
A legal scholar.
Yeah.
Don't we need Pawpaw decide if he wants to be awakened? Do we need to cast speak with animals on him?
I could absolutely ask. I don't even need to cast speak with animals. I can just be like, hey, do you want to be awakened?
It's true.
And he would kind of give me some reese.
Yeah.
But I mean, it just hasn't been on the top of my list because he just is already perfect.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It would only be if he wanted it because he's perfect to us and he's honestly got so much more room to grow without even being awakened.
It'd also be really funny if we did awaken him and then Murph just still did the Reese, but we sort of had a different reaction every time.
Yeah. I would definitely be willing to homebrew something where you do some kind of awakening to him where he gets smarter, but he still speaks in possum.
Again, I still take issue with the idea that there's anything that he's not already perfect way he is.
Murph, what are the advantages of awakening?
I have in a 3.5e campaign, I awaken someone, which is brutal because you have to sacrifice XP for it.
Right.
So now I'm leveling slower than everyone else.
Ugh.
Or it hasn't happened yet, but at some point they're going to jump a level and I'm not, and it's going to be devastating.
So it's almost multiclassing.
No, multiclassing doesn't affect your XP, but yeah, it would
affects how you level. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the wolf went from the wolf can speak now, but it hasn't really changed how he does anything. I think it just increased his intelligence, but his fighting hasn't changed.
He speaks common now.
Yeah.
Mm. He talks. I think in 5e, I know in 3.5, you roll a few D6s or something, and that's how many intelligence points they have. Like it it goes up by that much, and usually just makes them like a little bit dumber than like a human. But I think with 5e, it might take your intelligence up to 10, which I think is normal human intelligence.
Okay. Yeah. I also think that this whole awaken shenanigans is a little sapien-centric.
Right.
Because technically, like, if we awaken Pawpaw, is he going to be smarter in our understanding of intelligence, but lose some possum intelligence?
Interesting.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Will he scramble less?
Will he scramble less? Because he's just perfect the way he is.
You don't want to take
Pawpaw definitely has a 20 in crick wisdom at the moment. So, like, yeah, we would be taking that away.
If anything, we should awaken ourselves to be more Pawpaw like.
Fuck. So true.
Yeah, we should opossum ourselves.
Very good.
Next question. Brandon asks, this is a little bit of a different question. DM court question.
Ooh, that was a mixed bag we did on Patreon one time, DM court. Or not DM court, it was D&D court, where we took people's...
We mostly just took their stories, right?
Yeah.
We talked about actually doing a DM court episode, which we should.
Oh, we should.
We like side with people. I think we just helped decide one little fight. But we'll do it for this one.
Here we go.
DM court question. My DM won't let my Aarakocra Ranger have the ability to fly, not even as something I can get at a higher level. Is this fair? Is having a PC with the ability to fly game breaking? How can my DM and I come to a compromise?
Wouldn't you just make it like a ability they have?
I mean, you could, but I understand why. If I've never seen anyone play an Aarakocra. Mm-hmm. If you, in fact, can at level one fly, I could see why a DM might not want to have to deal with that, especially a new DM.
Especially also like a lot of like early level stuff, like when you're like a... When you're like a first level, a second level, like a lot of challenges are just like climbing over a wall.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Which is good because you need those small challenges to, you know, level up and get your character a little stronger.
Yeah.
At higher levels though?
Yeah, I would say a good compromise might be to what level can druids turn into flying creatures?
I believe level 9.
I would say maybe a little bit before level 9 or something is when that would be fair.
Yeah.
Because I don't know totally when, to what extent Aarakocras are...
I would have to...
been established in like official D&D stuff as being a playable race. I know that you can play them. You can play like anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if they have like official stats as released by a book.
You should say what Aarakocras are and do a little summary of them right now for people listening.
And then they like a like... little dance, like an Aarakocra dance.
Then just do a, and then also do like an Aarakocra mating call.
So I am kind of holding my arms up like wings right now, and I'm kind of doing a little shuffle to the side, showing my bird legs, and then I go, and that's sort of the mating call.
That actually paints a really nice picture.
Yeah, I'm titillated. I'm fully titillated.
But like if one of the benefits of playing an Aarakocra is that they fly, then like that's usually in favor of other things. Like, so you would think that it's like, if you're not going to let me fly, like what if I can do it as a once a day ability?
Yeah,
or something like that.
That makes sense.
I think like there's ways to build it into like your campaign and your character growth as well. Like, I don't know what this Aarakocra is in the world, like if there are more Aarakocra, like if you come from like a noble tribe or something like that, but it seems like if you either were like raised separately from other Aarakocra and like aren't as good at flying because of it, or like if that is a thing in the world where like Aarakocra must like go out and learn to fly on their own, they like get literally kicked out of their nest. I think there's like ways to like build it into your story to make it interesting too.
Right.
Yeah, I think there's also ways to be like, cool, like you can fly 10 feet in the air, right?
Yeah.
You know, like you can fly 10 feet in the air and your speed is the same.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to fly higher than 10 feet, you have to do like saving throws or something like that, or strength checks or something like that.
I am just realizing that part of probably the DM's problem with this is the fact that Brandon is playing a ranger. So I am getting a little bit of a sense. I think we're getting a little bit of a one-sided story here as someone who is frequently bombarded with shenanigans. Brandon at level one wants to be able to fly up over their enemies and shoot them with bows while not being able to be attacked except by like other arrows and stuff, which I could see is a little bit broken at level one.
Well, okay, counterpoint. Don't people say that the ranger is a frustrating class to play in 5e? Perhaps that's a way to make it a more exciting class.
I would love if Nyack could fly, actually.
Just ask Dunkle Caldwell. He'll break down and give it to you.
Brother, I sprouted wings. Yay!
I would imagine if you're homebrewing something, then I think it's within the DM's right to be like, this kind of fucks my shit up.
Sure.
I do think it's a little weird to say you could never do it ever.
I think you do like
even
once
as a high
a
level. I see no reason. If druids can fly around at like level 9, I see no reason a different character with like a different excuse for being able to fly couldn't fly at like level 6 or 7. See why at level 1 you wouldn't want your characters flying around.
Here's my opinion. You treat it like wild shape. So you can do it like once a day for a minute. So you could do it for like one combat. Then as you level up and get higher and higher, you go up to twice a day.
I don't know. I think you got to like take it battle to battle. It is kind of like, we don't know the full story here, but if I were a DM and somebody was like flying around in the air out of the range of my enemy, I would either have the enemy throw a rock at them and just like knock them out of the sky, or I would make them do like strength saving throws
to
see if they could stay in the air.
It's like partly on the DM to fuck with the guy that wants to fly. So the DM would be like, all right, you want to fly? Great. I'm going to invent a bunch of villains that do the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I do think that part of the reason, the way I would handle it is like, okay, you're going to fly. Well, then pretty much any time you're in battle, everyone's going to target you because you are
the most
drawing
dangerous.
Everyone's attention.
Mm-hmm.
So it's partly that, but also I just don't totally, anyone who's playing a bird, I just don't totally trust that you're not trying to draw shenanigans.
Yeah, right, bitch. That's my next character.
Yeah.
A bird.
I have the definitive solution for the DM. Give your villain a gun.
Whoa.
There you go.
Just change the world so that everyone has a gun.
Yeah, I would say if my official ruling is that if Wizards has a Aarakocra monster stat that is official and has been play tested and it involves flying, then you should be able to fly because there's probably other things that have been knocked off to make it fair.
Yeah.
If this is something that you took from the monster manual and then are adjusting, then I think the DM should maybe give it to you at like level 7 or 8 or 9 or nerf you a bit in other ways. I could see why a level 1 character flying could be game breaking, especially for a new DM.
Also an idea for the DM, just like every single place they fight, just mention, and the walls, and from the ceiling hangs flypaper. And then they have to keep doing dexterity saving throws to not get caught up in the flypaper.
Yeah. Also, make sure that every 2 hours a day, the Aarakocra does need to preen. So you're going to need to be reserving preening time.
And if you don't preen, then your wings will get skanky and matted, and then you won't be able to fly.
Exactly. You need to take two short rests forever. You need to sleep for 16 hours a day.
Not to mention you have to eat the exact nutrients that will keep your plumage lush.
So many oily berries.
Yeah, that's also...
You need to take omega-3 pills.
Definitely a tip for DMs if your character... If one of your players wants to play a really strange character and you're like, what? I don't want you to be a cow person or something. Just have every single town they go to be like, what? A cow person? I don't trust you.
Wait, my second grade birthday was a cow-themed birthday because I loved cows so much. Can I play a cow
of course.
Person?
No, no.
You already play an elk sometimes.
You play a goddamn pregnant elk right now.
You have a cow vest. You're basically a cow person.
Okay, y'all. It's getting too happy. Let's bring it down.
Okay.
Chris C. asks, what would Jake Hurwitz have done if Hard One had actually died?
Oh, man.
Like, what if you failed your roles in that moment, Hard One?
Which Oof. Time?
This most recent,
so
when he actually died. When you failed your roles to come back. If you had failed your roles to come
when
back.
When I got stabbed by the Death Lance?
Yeah.
Man. Well, you would have given me the choice to go to Moradin, Cord, or Shadowfell?
Shadowfell, yeah.
I think I would have gone to Shadowfell because I like would want to punish myself because I rolled like dog shit. And then
I actually it actually would have been pretty narratively interesting, albeit devastating, but I would have allowed Hard One to essentially have been like a dead person who was in Shadowfell who like couldn't be revived but could have been around for the last arc. So he would have gotten like one more lap with the Band of Boobs.
Whoa.
Essentially. Yes.
That would
truly too sad. But if he went to Shadowfell, couldn't I still bring him to, like, couldn't we reincarnate him? Couldn't we find...
Oh, that's interesting.
Like,
I
if either of you tries to like get yourself killed, I will be dragging your body to every high level druid and cleric in town. So, you know, you're going to have to tell me if you don't want me to do that.
Moonshine now.
And even if you say you don't want that, I will still do it.
Moonshine has reincarnation now, right?
Yeah, I do.
So
just got, well, technically I think I got it for, I think I, we didn't level, get
you
to
guys
that level
just
till,
level. Yeah. You leveled up after Queen Ezra.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then I do now.
Yeah. That actually probably hasn't been announced on the show, but the boobs are level 10 now.
Hell yeah, dude.
I'll have to come up with rules on how the, like, you know, if Revivify doesn't work, can you then still do like reincarnation? I would say probably, because it's just a different, it's like a different ritual. It's a different
reincarnation
thing.
Reincarnation is such a sacrifice in a way.
Mm.
Yeah, because you still come back differently.
Yeah.
Right.
We need to have like a safe word like amongst all of us. Like reincarnate feels like it's, I'm never going to use it on either of you guys because it's such a gamble because you roll and see what you would get reincarnated as.
Yeah.
And mostly it's like elves and shit like that, but like you can like, if you roll, like it's you roll like a D100. And if you get like, you know, if you get like 99 or something like that, it's like a bugbear. So we need to have like a, we need to have like some sort of like understanding if we ever do reincarnate on each other. Because it also does sound fun though, like narratively, if one of us was reincarnated as a different race, like that's so, like role play wise, that's such a mind fuck. But if like one of us came back as a bugbear and like we need to have like a like safe word that just means like kill me.
Kill me again.
I think,
well,
we all do need to.
It's always got to be a willing soul. So somebody could always, I would allow you guys, if like Moonshine tried to cast reincarnate on Hard One or something and Hard One was like, it's time for me to rest.
But could I roll and see like it's, if it's a bugbear and then I say it's time for me to rest?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Honestly, be
then
so
then I guess
funny.
We don't need a kill me safe word.
Thanks, but no thanks.
This seems real cool what you've got set
really
up here, but
it.
I'm good. Yeah. I'm good.
Hard One just looking around at heaven. This is fun.
I wonder if you could use some kind of or like, I wonder if you could add bardic inspiration. Obviously, we don't have a bard, but I wonder if you could add bardic inspiration to a reincarnate roll. So like, if you rolled and you got a shit one, if you could just add another DA and see if you got a better one.
Yeah,
I would allow some kind of, I think it would be, if you made some sacrifice or did the ritual in some kind of cool way and you found like a good role play reason for it, I would allow what would essentially be like advantage on that roll. Because I do think...
Whoa, so you can roll it twice and choose between the two?
Yeah, cool. I think it's fun to have that wild card aspect, but I also don't want one of you guys to play something that you don't want to play at all.
Yeah.
Well, that's why we have the kill me safe word.
Yeah.
We all need to sign a living will, it's true.
Yeah. Cool. Let's do some other ones, kind of rapid fire.
Yeah.
Garrison A asks, which fast food places would each of your characters, including any NPCs, love the most? And said, I guess there's a lot more Chick-fil-A's and Galateron now that the all is in charge, which is a funny joke.
Yeah.
I think the Chosen love Chick-fil-A and washing it down with a nice milk.
Hard One's White Castle. Sliders.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Beverly's.
That was that Bev loves Ruby Tuesdays, but he probably also loved, like, Shoney's.
I think, like, any, like, family-style buffet restaurant Beverly is super into, because he's, like, he's a teen and he eats, you know, the teen's got to eat.
Dirty secret for Moonshine. She loves Jollibee.
Ooh, love that ketchup and spaghetti.
Jollibees are great.
It was so off character. I was just joking. No, I don't know.
Long
is there
John
like
Silver? Oh, Red Lobster.
Red Lobster. Hell yeah.
That's
oh,
what
man.
The
there's a place. There's a place
it's
in
Red
Burbank.
Oh, yeah, Red Crawdad.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe Moonshine thinks like secretly has always wanted to go to Red Lobster, but thinks it's too fancy, so just opts for Long John Silver.
Oh my God. Maybe my dad was like a host at the Red Lobster.
Oh my God. The Maitre D. The Maitre Dirty D.
There's a place in Burbank called the Boiling Crab, and it's one of those spots where they like bring you just a big plastic sack full of crab legs.
Yeah.
And I want to go there in cosplay as Crick Elves.
Yeah. Except Moonshine will be like, why is everyone tucking something into their bib, not getting it all over themselves?
You got a perfectly good shirt for that.
Yeah. You gotta show everyone you ate crawdads earlier today.
Dr. Gwen asks, fuck, marry, kill gnomes, birds,
AKA
high
angels.
Elves.
Whoa.
Birds, AKA angels.
Okay. Ooh. Hmm. Okay. Well,
You gotta kill the gnomes.
Here's the thing.
The gnomes have been so good to you.
If the high elves are good enough for Jolene, I think I want a piece too. So I'm gonna say fuck high elves.
I think I would kill the birds / angels.
Yeah.
Fuck the high elves and marry myself a gnome.
Yeah. Cause it'd be fun. They'd have like a fun little lawnmower they tinkered together and like, you know, they'd take care of that. And I feel like,
but then maybe I would be like one of them so they wouldn't be trying to like screw me over all the time, you know?
But you'd ingratiate yourself to the gnomish people because you married into them. So
I'd learn their trickery.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the ultimate trick, is to get married to one.
John S. asks, Emily and Jake, what kind of campaign would you DM?
That's a really, really good question. Emily, do you know? I got it. I'm nervous. Actually, I do know. I think I would do a low fantasy Game of Thrones type of campaign.
That'd be so cool.
That's like the kind of fantasy that is my favorite kind of fantasy, and then also practically, I don't need to like learn a whole fuck ton about spells.
Yep,
that's true. I will say it's easier to have a lot of magic in a campaign as far as world building goes than it is to like come up with a ton of kingdoms and like their governments and all of that. Wizards that live here and they make the city float, you know what I mean?
No, I love the idea of like making a council and a triarch and weird
shit.
Magistrates. I'll come up with magistrates.
Yeah,
I kind of agree. Yeah, I like political bodies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know what I would do. Like, I like a lot of different worlds, so I definitely like the Blood Elves in World of Warcraft a lot, or the Night Elves. Are they Night Elves or Blood
there's,
Elves?
There's both.
I like the Night Elves in World of Warcraft a lot, and I like to just like fly around their worlds and live in their purple glow. So maybe like a glowing purple world.
Damn.
So a low magic purple world.
Purple world. Love it.
But I also really like creepy monsters a lot too.
Yeah.
Like
it'd
really kind of like goth monsters. Like,
I would love to do like a Bloodborne inspired world that you DM'd, Emily. That'd be so fun.
Oh, interesting.
Like a little more like Lovecraftian.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I like spooky stuff.
Yeah, get spooky.
Yeah, that's cool.
Lee on Twitter asks, who's the biggest antagonist, Theala or Ilsed / Akarat? Do you guys hate the devils or the angels more?
Oh, no.
We haven't interacted with Theala at all, have we?
But you interact
with the Chosen.
Theala's been like the obvious antagonist, but like I have in the back of my head that Ilsed like destroyed my aunt's life.
Mm.
So like we've interacted with Akarat, but like that still doesn't really give me a great window into Ilsed.
The devil's done more to fuck us, but the Chosen are more annoying.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, the Chosen did also take over my home.
Yeah, so, but the devil made a deal with your dad. And
yeah, man, they are all up in my business on every front. I hate them both equally. Gosh. No thank you to either, I say.
Does anyone have a specific answer if you had to pick one?
I just said I think Ilsid is the bigger. I mean, like, obviously Theala's like got a lot of power, so she's more present. Like, we're hearing like updates on her, but Ilsid, it's like I feel a little more personally attacked by.
Yeah, I think that the like Ilsid is risen in the popularity charts as far as people we want to kill.
But Galad is like my mortal enemy, especially given where we are now. Dude's been fucking me since before I was born.
And we will answer one more question on this episode, but we will answer more over on our Patreon, patreon.com/nadpod, N-A-D-D-P-O-D, don't sing
ooh,
yet.
Ooh, I wish to.
This last one is a fun one. Mr. Anybody on Twitter asks, when will we get an episode with Granddaddy Brennan Lee Mulligan? The answer is very soon. We are going to get Brennan in on some of this Shadowfell stuff. So I think we're going to do an episode or two to kind of introduce the arc. And then our good friend Brennan is going to be joining us.
Hell yay.
Cool guest.
Yay.
Arc.
He's so the excited. Best.
Can't wait.
He was talking to me about his character, and he says it's like the closest thing you can get to like a fully broken character, but still following the rules. So I'm very excited. Yep.
That's what happens when DMs play. They instantly get into shenanigans, but like shenanigans that will hold up in court.
These are squeaky clean shenanigans. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Ironclad.
Cool, guys. So we're going to wrap it up. Like I said, we'll be answering more questions over on our Patreon. So head on over to there if you want to listen to more. Guys, we got some stuff to plug. Watch Hot Date on Netflix, me and Emily's sketch show. You could also
Currently filming season two, baby.
You can also get our book, Hey You Up, How to Turn Your Booty Call into Emergency Contact, satirical relationship advice book, available on Amazon and on Audible. Caldwell, what do you got to plug?
Ooh, why don't you check out Big City Greens? It's a Disney show that I work for. I believe all the first season is available on Amazon or iTunes or on the Disney Now app. Not on Disney Plus yet, but like, get excited. It's probably going to be on there. It's just us and the Mandalorian. Yeah, nice. Check us out.
How do people send us stuff, Caldwell?
Oh, it's a great question. You can send it to 1920 Hillhurst Avenue, number 222, Los Feliz, California, 90027. I went to the P.O. Box recently. We have a lot of cool stuff in there, so we'll be doing shout-outs for that in upcoming episodes. Thank you so much for sending us things.
Jake, what do you got?
Beard Oil, baby. Brother, sister, co.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the sister, face. Mister, of course.
Sister, mister.
I'm a misted sister, and I'm happy about it.
Hell yeah. And also, I think our live show.
Fuck. It might be sold out at this point, but if it's not, then it is damn close to selling out. You can go to nadpod.com and click on the live tab, and you'll see our Chicago show. We're coming to Chicago on June 14th.
I cannot wait. I love that city.
Me too.
Very few tickets left, so jump on it if you haven't already. Guys, follow us on Twitter, at chmurph is me, at eaxford is Emily, at Caldy is Caldwell, at Jake Hurwitz is Jake, and tweet about the show using hashtag NADPOD, that's N-A-D-D-P-O-D.
We are the youth of the nation. We are the youth of the nation.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.